Good morning and welcome back to Nachyomi. This is Yaakov Tramp. Welcome back. We are at Perek Yud Zayin, the 17th chapter of Sefer Yirmiyahu. And we are now really in the thick of it. And Yirmiyahu is at addressing Klal Yisrael at a very critical time. And this Perek, also being the Haftarah for Bechukosai, is one of a composite set of ideas that addresses the people. The first section, Yirmiyahu addresses the ingrained nature of sin in the nation of Israel. So here's how he puts it, very harsh words. Chatas Yehuda kesuva ba'et barzel v'tziporin shamir. He talks about how the sin of Yehuda, of Judah, of the southern kingdom, is written in us in a iron pen, v'tziporin shamir, sort of engraved into the rock, harusha luach ribom, on their hearts, on their altars. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, it is so ingrained in you that the land is going to reject yourself. Shamatata, it's going to rest uvecha minachlascha asher osati lecha, which I'm going to reject you from your inheritance. And you're going to even serve your I'm going to make your enemies into slaves in the land that you're going to go. Ki esh kedachtem ba'api ad olam tukad. The fire which is burning against you is going to burn eternally. Wow. When you hear these terms, it sounds very irreversible. It sounds very strong. The Metzudas David, as an example, points out that this is to be taken in context to the end of the previous perek. As you know, the sections of the chapters were not instituted by Chazal. These were instituted by Christian sources, actually, so they don't always divide up where it should be. The end of the last perek, which is actually the beginning of the Haftarah for Bechukosai, which gives us a clue that the two parts are meant to go together, is describing when all the nations of the world will come to see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Almighty, is the God, although HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the power behind everything. So now Hashem says, but how is it that everybody else is recognizing God and you're still not? You're still just not noticing. Is it ingrained so much on your heart? That's the sort of tone that is being said over here. Rashi goes so far as to suggest that who are the scribes on their hearts to sort of point out that they are incorrect are the prophets themselves. Meaning, that means to say Yirmiyahu, Yeshayahu are the scribes who are writing it and who are noting the fact, the unwillingness of these people to be able to release. Well, the one thing which is so hard to read over here is the last words of this little section, this micro section, which says is that the fire is burning ad olam tukad, it's going to burn eternally. The Metzudas David explains this just means it's a hyperbole, it's an exaggeration to say that it means a long time, but nonetheless the exaggeration is jarring. It's very painful to read because that does mean an extremely long time. Once again, we see in this section the relationship of the Jews in the land of Israel, where the Jews did not rest or did not allow the land rest. So therefore, Hashem ejects them. The land sort of gets rest from you because you didn't give it the rest. That's what seems to be going on over here. And this notion of even the enemies becoming slaves is actually what did happen after the destruction of the first temple. A lot of Jews went to Egypt, but ultimately Egypt was also subjugated by Babylon, and the Egyptians were made into slaves. So where you thought might have been your refuge ultimately became no refuge in the end of the day. The next section over here is from Pasuk Hay all the way to Tes, and this talks about the difference between trusting in Hashem and not people. We have two reflected phrases. One of them is very familiar, the other one is actually the mirror opposite of it. So here's the first one. Arur hagever asher yivtach ba'adam v'som basar zera'ai. Cursed be a person who trusts in human beings and places in flesh their strength. What's the reflected reverse of that? Of course we know that one. It appears in our benching. Baruch hagever asher yivtach ba'ashem v'ya Hashem yivtachai. Blessed is the person who trusts in Hashem and places his foundational trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In fact, Yirmiyahu gives an image to what the two of these look like. The person who trusts in human beings is like an arar ba'arava. This is like a lone tree, a desert tree. It comes from the word ariri, which means childless. It's this desert tree. You can imagine this arid, environment, sort of trying to get moisture from wherever it can. Not really succulent, not really successful, just eking out survival. What's the image of the other side of trusting in Hashem? A tree by a brook, you can imagine a willow, sort of, slurping up the water green and lush and producing more. This is the different images. When you trust in human beings aren't always there. Human beings change their mind. Human beings disappear. Human beings aren't powerful. don't trust them. Why are we talking about this now? Says the Radak, because you, Israel, think, ah, it's fine. We have a peace accord with Egypt. We are going to make it. We're going to make a coalition with Assyria. Well, this is what happens when you trust human beings. They disappear. They get killed by your enemies. And then you end up getting killed by the same enemies. So be very careful where you put your allegiances. That's what Hashem is trying to say. Then Yirmiyahu adds in an extra little image in Yud Aleph to Yud Gimel. A very interesting image. He says, Korei dagar v'lo yalad, oise oshe v'lo b'mishpat, b'chatzi yom av yazvenu v'achriso yir noval. Interesting image. Listen to the translation. Like a partridge, a type of bird, hatching what she did not lay, so is one who amasses wealth by unjust means. In the middle of his life, it'll leave him, and in the end, he'll be proved a fool. What's this referring to? So the Malbim explains, this is the kind of person who says, no, I trust in Hashem. Baruch Hashem, Emirza Hashem, Chaste Hashem. Hashem is in my life all the way, until I get into the office, and then I cut everybody down because I need to make sure that I'm going to get ahead. So Yirmiyahu was saying is, if you claim that there's all this emunah in your life, but the way you act is not, then it's going to be like the bird which is claiming an egg which is theirs, which is not really theirs, and it's going to leave you. Meaning all that ill-gotten gains, because you had to cut corners and cut out people in order to be able to get there, clearly demonstrates that what you're saying is not necessarily true. As Stephen Covey quotes anonymously in his book, Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, I can't hear what you're saying because your actions are shouting too loud. So Yirmiyahu was saying the actions of such people are going to ultimately prove themselves. Two last sections in this parak. The next section runs from Yud Dalad to Yud Ches, where Yirmiyahu begs for health and mercy. He says the words which actually are the basis for our prayer in the Shemona Esrei, the bracha of Rafa'enu. Listen how he says it. Rafa'eni Hashem ve'erofe. Hashem, heal me, and I shall be healed. Hoshi'eni v'oshea, ki hisihilo si'ata. Save me, and I shall be answered, because you are my prayer. That is what Yirmiyahu says. Of course, our bracha is built after this, and he talks about his enemies and not letting his enemies cut him down and seeking vengeance, which has been a theme we've seen before in Yirmiyahu's talk. But, you know, interesting thing is we never really noticed that Yirmiyahu was sick, right? Meaning like he's been oppressed, you know, he's been chased, persecuted, but sick we have not seen. So why is he begging for health here? So Radak says, no, he means it homiletically. He means emotionally he's been so persecuted, he's been so insulted, he's been so embarrassed. Please Hashem, save me from all this pain that I'm in, which is expressing itself in healing. However, the Malbim goes so far as to say that what's going on over here is shocking. He's saying, you know my pain is, what my sickness is? My sickness is my nevuah. You're giving me a nevuah, you're giving me a mission which is crippling me, Hashem. You're giving me a mission in life which I know is right, but it's hurting me so much. Save me from my mission. Sometimes in life we have the moments when we know we should be doing the right thing, but it's so painful. Hashem, save us from our own mission. That's what he asks. Hashem does not relent. And therefore, in the last section of the parak, Yirmiyahu now addresses the people in the most remarkable way. He asks them he gives them chizuk. It's like a Shabbos Shuva drasha, and the focus of this drasha, running from Yud Tes to Chof Zayin until the end of the parak, is keep the mitzvah of, if you have to choose one mitzvah, which is going to reprimand the people about, it is Shabbos. So fascinating. He stands at the gates of Jerusalem, and he says, make sure you don't carry on Shabbos through these gates. And make sure to adhere to the words of Shabbos. And they didn't, and you wouldn't listen. And then he sets up this ultimatum, which sort of reflects Parshas Bechukosai, which is why it's probably read as the Saftara. He says, "Vayam Shomar Tishmu Elai." If you're going to listen to me, Levil Tihavi Masal Vashari Ha'irazos, not to carry burdens on Shabbos into the city. Then you know what? The kings of David will run through the city, and they will come through chariots and mighty horses, and they will sit on the thrones of Jerusalem. But if you're not going to keep Shabbos, like Kadesh Yom HaShabbos Levil Tisa Eis Maso V'Hashari HaShalam B'Yom HaShabbos, and you're going to carry on the day of Shabbos because you think that's going to get you ahead. You think you're going to succeed more because you work 7 days a week. V'Yitzati Eish B'Shari V'Ochla Armonos Yerushalayim V'Lo Tzikobe. I'm going to burn it down. It'll never be extinguished. That's what Yirmiyahu says. Why now? Why Shabbos now? Out of all times, I mean, like out of all the other things, you can really think this is it? So the Malbim says yes. And Yirmiyahu realizes that destruction is slated and that he cannot escape his prophecy. So he says, you know what, let me give them something easy. Let me give them something easy to do, which will bring them back to their senses, which will remind them who the Creator is, which will remind them, which will guide the rest of their actions, because without Shabbos, the Jews are lost. More than Jews keep Shabbos, Shabbos keeps the Jews. That's Yirmiyahu I was saying over here. This is a phenomenal point in terms of trying to bring people closer to their source, to their experience, to their history. Where is that play found? That's in Shabbos. It's so funny. You hear the enemies on the outside. You hear the geopolitical situation. What are the prophets talking about? They're talking about Shabbos because that's when we come closer. We need to heal first internally before we heal externally. That's what Yirmiyahu was saying. It's interesting that just as a historical point, Rabbi Binyamin Lau in his Sefer on Yirmiyahu suggests this particular episode actually occurs earlier on in Yirmiyahu's life. So it's not that, you know, there's the sieges coming and Yirmiyahu is getting up and saying, folks, let's keep Shabbos. What's really happening is this is during the time of Yoshiyahu HaMelech, at the earlier stage of Yirmiyahu's prophecy, where he's telling the people, in part of the spiritual reform of Yoshiyahu, is keep the Shabbos and do it right. And he's actually side by side with Yoshiyahu HaMelech, trying to encourage the people to do good. Obviously, this does not succeed, but this last section in the prophecy then has more of an uplifting, optimistic tone than destruction-slative tone. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.